You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Have you always wanted to hear the hockey stories told from the press box? For your premier source of hockey prospect news from across the AHL, NCAA, Canadian Hockey League, and international leagues, this is your all-access pass to The Press Zone, a hockey podcast packed with news, analysis, interviews, and entertainment featured on AHLReport.com. Your hosts, Amy Johnson and Rick Stevens, are experienced, credentialed hockey reporters bringing you stories built from strong connections throughout the hockey community and from inside rinks all across North America. Welcome to The Press Zone. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Press Zone podcast right here on the AHL Report, part of Rocket Sports Media and a proud affiliate of the Hockey Podcast Network. So glad that you are here with us today on the last Tuesday in October, if you can believe it or not. It's hard to believe. The month has just absolutely flown by, but we're glad that you're here with us today. I'm your host of the show, also the lead correspondent at AHLReport.com. My name is Amy Johnson, and I'm happy to welcome you to the show if you are a new listener. If you're a longtime listener, well, of course, we welcome you back as well. We appreciate your loyalty and your listenership. We have a fun show for you today. I've got some great Laval Rocket updates to bring to you after a three-game week for them last week, one at home and two on the road. So we'll get you all caught up with the latest happening with the Montreal Canadiens AHL affiliate. And then in our second segment, Patrick Williams and Rick Stevens are joining me here in the studio for this week's AHL Hot Stove edition. And we're going to talk about, it's an early edition of Where Are They Now? we're going to talk about a familiar name to Laval Rocket fans, as well as talk a bit about some things going on around the league. And we're going to go, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how the games went this past week for Laval. But in that second segment, when Patrick and Rick join me in the studio, we're going to take a bit of a deeper dive overall on the start that Laval has had to their season in general. So lots of great information to get you started with today. I'll remind you, if you haven't done so already, to just click that subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode of the podcast. And also be sure you're following us on Twitter at The Press Zone and at The AHL Report. We never want you to miss any information about the Habs prospects and the AHL team going forward. So last week, the Laval Rocket had a home game against the Springfield Thunderbirds on Wednesday night. Keep in mind, don't forget, those same Springfield Thunderbirds are the same team that ousted Laval from the Calder Cup playoffs earlier this summer, eliminating them in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. So was this a bit of a revenge game? Well, I mean, yes and no. The franchises are there, but the personnel involved with each team has greatly changed over the summer, as often happens with AHL teams. There's many players for the Laval Rocket who participated in that Calder Cup playoff run who are no longer with the team, and the same goes for Springfield as well. But there were also plenty of familiar faces on the ice for both teams as well. In fact, the goaltending matchup was very familiar from the Calder Cup playoff run. Caden Primeau versus Joel Hofer. And really, this was both teams were searching for their first victory of the regular season. Neither one of them had gotten into the win column yet, so you knew that one of them was going to walk away with a win. And as luck would have it, it was Laval who came away with Caden Primeau's first shutout of the season, actually. They won this game 2-0. Brandon Gignac scored in the very first minute of the game. However, that call was reversed because He had batted down the puck with a high stick prior to that. And so it kind of, you know, went back and forth a bit, but Laval really had a lot of pep in their step. They play very well, like the Canadians do. They play well at home in front of their fans, where it's a pretty raucous environment. The fans are passionate in Laval and at Place Belle, particularly after that lengthy playoff run. And so things kind of went back and forth a bit, but Gabriel Bourque in the third period finally opened the scoring for Laval. And Tori Dello, after taking a late penalty in the game, redeemed himself a bit with an empty netter to win the game 2-0. So Laval comes out with their first victory of the season on home ice against the Springfield Thunderbirds, which was a kind of a feel-good moment for them. But then they go on the road and they take on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins and the Bridgeport Islanders over the weekend. And it was a rough weekend for Laval yet again. You know, we saw in their first weekend, they dropped both games to the Belleville Senators, one of which they lost in overtime. Then they won that game against Springfield. Then they dropped both games on the road. Coming home, as my recap title said, they came home empty-handed. Not a single point was earned on the road over the weekend. Mitchell Stevens getting back into the lineup on Friday night, reclaiming his position as the top-line center after serving a two-game suspension. But frankly, on Friday night's game against the Penguins, Laval looked very sluggish out of the gate. They had three shots on goal up until about the last 2 or 3 minutes of the period, of the opening period. But it was Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Penguins affiliate, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, who went up early, 2 goals in the first period. Although they didn't score again after that, they didn't need to. The Rocket did avoid getting shut out, when Gabriel Bourque once again was able to get a rebound past former Canadian goaltender Dustin Tokarski. They also happened to be facing off against their former captain Xavier Ouellette, who is playing for the Penguins now. But it just wasn't enough. And, you know, it's the penalties proved to be an issue once again. Lots of penalties, lots of defensive turnovers, lots of mistakes. Primo has not looked confident at all the time in net. And so after the game, JF Uhl had mentioned that there were players he wasn't happy with during that particular match. In fact, Brennan Gignac was benched for the better part of about a period and a half because JF Uhl was so unhappy with his performance and some of the other veterans. So on Saturday night's game, when they headed to Bridgeport, Connecticut to take on the Islanders AHL affiliate, Gignac, along with Nate Schnarr and Xavier Simoneau, were all healthy scratches, allowing Joel Teasdale and Peter Abbandonato to come into the lineup, making their season debuts. And Pierre-Rick Dubé drew back in to the lineup as well. The Rocket looked a bit better in this game to start. However, they were facing a goaltender, Jakub Skarik, and he was really up to the task against the Laval Rocket. Chris Terry, former Montreal Canadiens AHL affiliate forward. Chris Terry is known to be a power play specialist. Chris Terry is known for scoring a lot of goals just all the time. And of course, Chris Terry doing Chris Terry things against his former team once again. He had an assist on the first goal of the night. Also had a power play goal a little later on. This time, Kevin Poulin was in net. And things just weren't going the Rocket's way. And yet again, penalties coming back to bite them. This team has been more undisciplined than I've seen them in recent years. JF Uhl not particularly pleased with the amount of penalties that his young team is taking. So not the best start as far as standings and the win column. Special teams has not been good, and they're just not winning. They have one win in 5 games. So it's not looked good. They're 1-3-1 on the season so far. But keep in mind, and we're going to talk about this more in the next segment when Patrick and Rick join me in the studio. Keep in mind, just like the NHL club, the AHL club needs to focus on development this year because there are a ton of young prospects in Laval who need to learn and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and develop their game and grow their game so that they can start transitioning to the NHL as well. And so, guys like Jesse Ullinen was one of the ones who I thought could have had a shot at making the roster out of camp. I think he's very close. I think he's probably one of the first call-ups for a forward. And he has continued to play well on the first line for Laval. He's doing pretty well, as well as on the back end. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Justin Barron so far as a solid first pairing AHL defenseman. Matthias Norlander has been playing well. Otto Leskinen's been doing well. So, the things that are supposed to be happening seem to be happening a bit in terms of young guys getting experience and good individual play. Just overall, the team victory isn't necessarily coming together. So the Laval Rocket now come home to kick off a 6-game homestand. They'll be taking on who else? The Belleville Senators on Wednesday night. So we'll see if they're able to get their first win of the season against their division rivals. And then they take on the Rochester Americans twice on home ice this Friday and Saturday. So, not an easy schedule, and JF Wool and his team are certainly going to be looking to make some improvements. We'll see if there's any lineup changes and how JF Ull chooses to deploy not only his prospects, but how he kind of spreads out the responsibilities of his veterans as well. It'll be fun. I can guarantee you that. And you can be sure that at AHL Report, we will have all of the coverage of each and every game. You can follow at the AHL Report on Twitter to follow along with our live in-game updates so that you know in real time what's happening. And then, of course, we have an extensive game recap after every single game at AHLReport.com. So lots of excitement coming. And who knows, we've seen, our friend and teammate Gustav with an article out this week at allhabs.net, as well as Rick Stevens and Michael Spinella speaking about things on the Canadians Connection podcast this past weekend. You know, keep in mind there's a good chance that you're going to see some of those kind of showstopper guys who have been playing in the NHL, those young prospects, maybe start to trickle down to Laval as veteran players get healthy at the NHL level. So will we see Juraj Slafkovský coming down to Laval in the next week or so? Will we see an Arbor Jacki come down to the AHL in the next week or two? That will be fascinating to watch. And Kent Hughes had promised that there was going to be a lot of back and forth for young prospects between Laval and Montreal, particularly on the back end. And so that will also be a fun thing to watch, is who's going to be that first defensive call-up and how soon will that happen? I imagine it's probably going to be a little bit longer before we see that happen, but who knows? They could surprise us. So keep it locked at AHLReport.com. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And on the other side, it is the AHL Hot Stove, and I am thrilled to have Patrick Williams and Rick Stevens joining me in the studio for it. You don't want to miss it, so stay with us. You're listening to the Press Zone podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hockey fans, it's finally time to hit the ice again, and thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you're in for the season of a lifetime. New customers can bet $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets if they win. Now, you know, we cover the Habs here, but for me personally, I'm a fan of hockey in general. So I love to use DraftKings Sportsbook, to set up kind of some my favorite picks for opening weekend and see if we could get some same game parlays going on. In fact, if it's not enough excitement for you to bet that $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. That's what I like to do. Combine multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and lots more options for your shot at an even bigger payout. Now, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. I use it. It's so much fun. And I don't make big bets. I bet like 25 cents at a time. Like it's very reasonable. And you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And welcome back to the Press Zone podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, AHLReport.com, part of Rocket Sports Media and an affiliate of the Hockey Podcast Network. Thanks again to our sponsors over at DraftKings for that great incentive that you just heard from them for the month of October. And as I had mentioned in the first segment, please be sure that you have subscribed to this podcast. We don't want you to miss an episode of it each and every Tuesday, as well as hit that share button as well. You know, we have listeners who say, you know, how can I help out? How can we, you know, is there anything that I can do to help the good folks at Rocket Sports? And the best way that you can help us is by sharing our content on your favorite social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, it doesn't matter. But if you hit that share button, just share it with your friends and followers, and it's the best thing that you can do to help us spread the word and make the Rocket Sports Media content more visible to a wider hockey audience. I promised it at the top of the show. I'm a woman of my promises. We have Patrick Williams and Rick Stevens back in the studio with me today for the AHL Hot Stove. Gentlemen, the trio is back. The band is back together. And that means that, yes, we get the applause because Rick Stevens is here. And of course, Patrick Williams is here. That's right. The Angels have been... Rick, you should know that Patrick asked if... if the
You're missing the Angels?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He had asked about the Angels, if they had been... if they had, I think it was during... Patrick, was it during preseason when they were making training camp cuts and you asked if the Angels had been... sent
yes,
down.
They were a victim of...
they've been sent down. Put on waivers. Welcome back to both of you, gentlemen.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
I have to start you know, we always... on the Press Zone, we try to highlight who the AHL Player of the Week is for listeners who maybe don't pay attention to the rest of... what's going on in the league, and sometimes you miss out on learning about some really tremendous players who knows, later this season or even next season you might see in an NHL lineup. But this week I have to laugh because this poor young man, I probably piled on this guy so often when he worked for Laval or when he was playing for Laval, not because of how he played, but just simply because he wasn't a Canadiens prospect, and after knowing the slate of prospects that were going to come through, you know, he was one of those guys that was going to need to move on to make room for prospects. And so he certainly put his stamp on the beginning of the season. He's now playing with the Tucson Roadrunners. And Laurent Dauphin is the AHL's Player of the Week in just the second week of the AHL regular season. Patrick, make me understand it.
he's back in familiar territory for
homecoming. Homecoming.
Yeah, going back to the Arizona system, back to Tucson. Clearly finding his way there very quickly. That Tucson Roadrunners team looked really good this past weekend. They handled the Bakersfield Connors, a good veteran team. They handled them quite well and swept that series. So it was an impressive run so far, and he's been a big part of it. It's definitely a team that had an off-season makeover. JSD, another obviously familiar name for
oh yeah, Laval. That's right.
Montreal fans is out that way as well. So it's been a good start there in the desert for the Tucson Roadrunners. And
he had his first hat trick over the weekend. Is that, I believe?
He had.
I think he had a hat trick this weekend.
Blanking here, he had. Yeah, I believe he did. Yes.
Which I mean, good for him.
Yeah. So yeah, he had a hat trick. You know, back to back, or the second half of a back to back series. So. Yeah, he looks good. I mean, you know, he's one of those probably classic tweener type players. He's 27 now, so, you know, he's certainly getting into that, well into that veteran realm. But, you know, obviously in Arizona, the jobs are open if you can go there and contribute. So I think this is a great opportunity for him to go back there and, you know, make a quick impression.
And Rick, I mean, it's not, I joke when I say that I was, you know, on the beat of Laurent Dauphin needing to move along. It wasn't because he was a terrible hockey player. It was, as I said, he's taken up prospect space, but, he was a fan favorite, in Laval for sure. And certainly seemed to be well received by the crowds there. And no matter who it is, we always like to see, guys succeed once they've left the Montreal Canadiens organization.
For sure. There were some high expectations. He was a second round pick picked by the Arizona Coyotes in 2013. And as Patrick said, you know, the kind of player that can be pretty productive in the AHL, but just doesn't have the combination of skill and processing the game at a quick speed. And his foot speed skating has always been an issue for Dauphin, particularly at the NHL level. So, you know, a brief stop in with the Nashville organization, played with Laval for a bit, and now is back, quote unquote, home, and good for him. He can be a veteran to help some of their young prospects.
Now, speaking of Laval, and listeners will know both last week and this week in the first segment, I've given them all the all of the stories on the kind of rough start that Laval has had this season. And it was, you know, we remember when the Canadiens 2 summers ago went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. People had these high expectations for how they would come back in the fall, and they frankly fell flat on their faces when they came back in the fall. And we've known that J.F. Ouley even said as much in his exit interview after Springfield had ousted the Laval Rocket from the Eastern Conference final earlier this summer. J.F. Ouley even said, look, we're going to be a lot younger next year. We're going to have a completely different makeup. There's going to be a lot of prospects and young kids in the lineup. So things are going to be different. I think most of us who analyzed the game understood that things were maybe going to look a little different on the stat sheet and in the standings. But Patrick, I'll start with you. Are you surprised at all by the struggle of a start that Laval has had to get into the win column?
Not particularly, no. I didn't think they had a great offseason in terms of, you know, you want to bring in, if you're going to bring in veterans, you have to bring in really high impact veterans. I didn't think they necessarily did that. And then they lost some definite talent off last year's roster. Xavier Ouellette, the captain, went to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. JSD, as we talked about earlier, went off to Tucson. So Louis Belpedio went off to Philly. So yeah, you know, they definitely took some hits to their roster. And I do think to some extent there's probably the possibility, if not the likelihood, that a team like that that went on a run last year in the playoffs, went to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final, and then some of those players end up back in Laval, I think that can be a little bit of a letdown for them. Certainly none of them would ever say that, but human nature being what it is, and I do think that's an issue to keep an eye on. Just because it is a very common thing for players in this league where you think, all right, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Next year I'm going to the NHL, and now you find yourself back And yeah, it's not been a great start. I saw them a good portion of both nights' games in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Bridgeport this past weekend, and in neither case did they look. They did not look very good. They did not look connected. Discipline's been an issue at different times in terms of you know, penalty trouble, and just not a team that looks like they're in sync yet. Now, obviously, this is the American Hockey League, where every summer things are kind of you know, all the chess pieces are knocked off the table, and you have to kind of put it all back together. But that can take time. But for right now, it's a team I think definitely in a state of flux.
Now, we know, you know, as you said, they indiscipline has definitely been an issue for them already. We saw it in the preseason. It has carried into the regular season. They're taking a ton of penalties. There's been some defensive breakdowns. There's been turnovers. But Rick, is some of that just kind of what goes along with having a younger roster filled with more prospects who are learning how to play professional hockey? Like, what do you feel is the balance there from what you've seen from Laval in this short sample size to start the season?
Well, I think there's an adjustment to be made. Yes, Laval has a younger lineup. The coaches last year were used to dealing with a mostly veteran lineup. So have they adjusted to more of a teaching role? You know, we'll see. I think that, discipline's been an issue. They're in the top, last I looked, top five, top seven in penalties, yet mm-hmm. they're in the bottom of the league when it comes to special teams, penalty killing and you know, drawing their own penalties and being successful on the power play. I think that Laval is always a team that at home, they, because of it being rather intimidating to play at Place Belle, certainly in the playoffs, but any time in the year, they benefit that perhaps more than other teams. They're given a bit of a boost, and they're coming up to a six-game homestand. But and so we'll see if that helps them get back on track and get back their confidence and playing in front of their fans. But I think a lot of it is just being the coaches adjusting to the players they have, and you know, maybe they have to change a little bit too.
Part of, you know, we've been acknowledging since even before training camp to kind of temper expectations, not only for the Canadians, but for the Laval Rocket as well. Given that, yes, it's going to be a younger team. Yes, the prospects are going to need to have that adjustment period, and they're going to need to be given a longer leash to make mistakes and learn and be put into positions where maybe it's not necessarily their strength to try to improve certain areas of their game. So I think it's been, and both of you or either one of you can talk to this. I think it's at least been encouraging that, you know, while they're not getting the wins, there have been, if you're watching just the prospects, there are some highlights there in terms of guys like Jesse Ullinen have looked very good on the first line. Justin Barron has been a solid first top pairing defenseman. Matthias Norlander on the second pairing has been steady. Jan Mischak has looked like he is improving. And this is really the crux of what is supposed to happen in the AHL, right? That maybe the wins don't always come, but the prospects who need to really shape and grow their game are getting the experience that they need.
Well, when we talked to J.F. Hull in a few weeks ago in the preseason, he was his message was that he wasn't going to change much. This wasn't a development season for, in his mind, it was you know, business as usual. We'll win, and as we win, the prospects will learn. So let's hope that there's been a particular focus, because as you say, a focus on development, because as you say, the wins don't necessarily matter if you're seeing progress from the prospects, and no disrespect to, you know, the Belzeals and the Danik Martels and those type, but where you want to see progress is with the players that you identified, particularly those guys on defense who may be required to progress to get through the development stages a little bit more quickly, like a Justin Barron, Matthias Norlander, and you know, I'm sure they would like to see the Canadians are going to be losing a number of players as contracts expire at the end of the year, but probably sooner than that at by the trade deadline. So you're going to want to have players like Ullinen, maybe a Raphael Harvey-Pinard to be able to call up.
It's I think it's one of those things where it's hard to not get discouraged when they've only won one game so far. But it's one of those gentle reminders to, as we say, temper expectations and focus on individual player efforts and growth in their game. And that's really what the AHL is about. Patrick, one area around the league that apparently there's been some really outstanding performances has been in the goaltending department.
Yeah. And I think that's a little interesting for this time of the year, because sometimes that first month or so in this league can be a little bit of a mess defensively for teams. So that's tends to be where goaltenders pay that price, where, you know, they're kind of hung out to dry in a lot of cases. But there's been some real impressive goaltending efforts early on here. You know, I looked at San Jose, very, very much a different team from what they were last year. That was a team that lost 15 in a row to finish the season. But they brought in Arundel, who I think Laval fans will remember last year from the playoff series with Rochester, a good solid veteran. He's been excellent. Etu Makiniemi, who was part of that Brett Burns trade with Carolina, came over. And then Strauss Mann, who was a free agent, 23 years old, came over from Sweden for a second pro season. So that's a team that's running three real solid goalies on any given night. So that they've been really impressive. Then you have kind of an old familiar face. Dustin Tokarski's been excellent, as you would expect.
For Wilkes-Barre.
For Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Oskari Salminen in Manitoba's been excellent. You know, another player who came over from Finland this summer had some real good success there. And that's interesting in the sense that to see a goalie make that adjustment quickly to North America, that can be difficult for goalies to learn the game, especially in the American Hockey League, where there's a lot more chaos than there is in the European game. A good mix of kind of veterans, but also some good young prospects as well. Utica's had Kira Schmid and Nico Dawes, who have both been phenomenal. Rick, I think you mentioned that off the air that if they can get some scoring there in Utica, they should be in good shape. Because goaltending is definitely on par. So a good mix. Then you have Sebastian Kosa, first round pick by Detroit, I guess it was 2021. Who's kind of been on a yo-yo back and forth to the ECHL. He got a win in his pro debut. I feel like that Grand Rapids goaltending pitcher, another kind of three goalie rotation right now, kind of really summarizes the league well. You have a good veteran in UC Okanora. You have kind of a still question mark in Victor Bratstrom, and then you have obviously a very, very high-end intriguing prospect like Sebastian Kosa, who was phenomenal in junior in the Western League. So kind of a little bit of everything, right? Like, you know, you have a good veteran, kind of a guy that you're working on, and then, you know, then that top prospect. So so it's a good crop of goalies this year. You know, I think definitely better than maybe some prior years for sure.
And Rick, you were you mentioned before the show even that there's names like Anton Khudobin, who's in the goaltending crop in the AHL as well.
It's odd when you look through and see a veteran like Khudobin there. We have to be reminded that it's a place where young goaltenders, and you don't often see first round picks in the NHL for in terms of goaltenders. So there are some real good young goaltenders who are developing and already putting in some great performances. And you know, there's a different path to the individualized paths to the NHL for some of these players. You mentioned Kosa. The way that Detroit's using their ECHL affiliate to help develop these goaltenders, and there's no shame in going to the ECHL and seeing a lot of pucks and keeping sharp and progressing. I'm not on every week, and so I have to talk about goaltending, and I'm just really excited about some of the performances we've seen so far in the AHL.
I think it's been, the season's only really 2 weeks old, but there's been some really interesting trends happening already around the league. There's been some fireworks. There's been some massive suspensions already, which always it's a little early in the season for that to be happening. But it's been a fun start to the season, and it will be very fun to see what happens in the coming week, particularly with Laval, as Rick had mentioned. They kick off a 6-game homestand this week. We'll see if they can have a little more success on home ice at Place Belle. It was great to have both of you back here in the studio this week. Thank you so much for being here for the AHL Hot Stove.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's very fun having the AHL Hot Stove be a regular weekly occurrence on the Press Zone podcast this season, and it was very good to have all three of us back in the studio. Thank you very much to Rick Stevens and Patrick Williams for joining me today. Always great to hear from those two gentlemen. They're a wealth of great information, fantastic and accurate analysis, and some pretty good opinions too. So it's always fun to have them on the show. As I mentioned, bookmark AHLReport.com and AllHabs.net for all of your best Montreal Canadiens and Laval Rocket news and updates and game recaps and features. Also, if you have not subscribed to our Canadiens Connection podcast hosted by Rick and Michael, that happens every Saturday. You want to head over to CanadiansConnection.fm and hit subscribe over there. And hey, while you're at it, our YouTube channel has been growing by leaps and bounds over the past 6 or 7 months. We had a very good following of subscribers prior to that. We've had an established YouTube channel for many, many years. I want to say 6, 7, 8 years, where we had a very good following, but it has just absolutely grown in leaps and bounds over the past few months. Tons of new subscribers, even just in this past week. There, I host a weekly show called Habs Hockey Report. You can find it at youtube.com/allhabs. Thousands of viewers every week. Lots of fans just like you watching, commenting. There's lots of fan interaction on that show. It's a lot of fun, and I don't want you to miss out on it. I'd love to have you join in on the fun happening over at our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/allhabs, hit the subscribe button for Habs Hockey Report every Thursday. And hey, it's almost the end of October. Halloween is coming up on Monday, so I want to hear, by the time we come back here next week, how all of the candy hauls went for all of you for Halloween, and what you're hoping to get the most of in your trick-or-treat bucket this year. And we'll be back November 1st, next Tuesday, for another great episode of the Press Zone podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe to never miss an episode of the Press Zone on Rocket Sports Radio. Visit AHLReport.com for the latest news on hockey prospects.